Welcome to Programming in Tongue, a podcast of the Universal Translator Assistant Project. Welcome back to Programming in Tongues. This is the corner of cyberspace where I try to use computers to manipulate, to use, to learn the languages of science fiction and fantasy. I have a language from literature today, not really a fantasy language, it's actually real language that I want to think about, but I want to think about what is a common subject in science fiction when two cultures meet, often with disastrous consequences, as we've seen in the United States and the intersection with Native American cultures and other parts of the world where colonizing empires came and disrupted local cultures. I'm not really interested in exploring so much the problems as the impact on art. And with a sort of stream of consciousness connection, I've got a song that picks up on the title of the subject of art or the particular piece of literature that got me thinking in these lines today.
Hiawatha, played by Columbia Orchestra.
Yes, I'm thinking of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow and the Song of Hiawatha. This was a poem that was extremely popular. It's hard in our day and age to think of poems as being like the Stephen King of the day, or you know, just selling out like Grisham. But Longfellow captivated the audiences and it had tremendous press runs. His work was very popular. And particularly, one thing that he wrote was the Song of Hiawatha. I grew up in the Minneapolis area, and anyone who's been here knows that there are place names from the Minnehaha Falls to any number of schools that have been named after people and places within Longfellow's work. But Longfellow didn't make this up. It came from somewhere. It was real language. I've got a volume of poetry by Longfellow, and in the introduction, this is what it says, that Longfellow's preparation for the writing of Hiawatha, a process that was both subconscious and instinctively deliberate, dated from boyhood to 1854. His published sources were in the works of two pioneer anthropologists, Heckwelder and Schoolcraft. He also cultivated the friendship of an Ojibwe chieftain so as to catch the flavor of oral tradition in Indian mythology. The results of Longfellow's research here, as in the best of his adaptions from European literature, created an effect that held few traces of scholarly procedure. It was that of thoroughgoing recreation. Even though to a modern ear, the poetry of Longfellow may seem dated, it was a very craftsman-like work. We also lost sight of the fact that Longfellow wasn't just a poet. He was actually a professor of literature, a professor of language, and knew quite a few languages, and very definitely incorporated Native American language into his poem. I've added to the online resource, my Galactic Phrasebook, the vocabulary, a table of words that were included in this poem. So it's kind of fun to look at those. So you can search for those at galacticphrasebook.mrklingon.org. I also found an interesting resource, a Native American language website called native-languages.org. There is a link on the show notes. And they presented a table of the words that were in Longfellow's poem. They note that though Hiawatha is an Iroquois hero, Longfellow's poem is set in Minnesota, and most of the Native American words he uses in it come from the Minnesota Indian languages, Ojibwe, Chippewa, and Dakota Sioux. The story that Longfellow relates to is primarily based not on the Iroquois legend of Hiawatha, but rather on the Chippewa legend of Nanabozho, a rabbit spirit who was the son of the West Wind and raised by his grandmother. What's fun to think about in this is to see how this can be reset into an alien world with humans going off and meeting other cultures, or in the same vein as Europeans met Native Americans, perhaps we will be the ones who are met by the colonizing empire that is coming from afar. But what's interesting is to see not just the drama and the tragedy that may result, but also that art can be used to bring the other people to life, to help people think about them as being like themselves. I think somewhat of Orson Scott Card's Speaker for the Dead, and the idea of how one person can so absorb or understand the other that he can turn it around and make his fellows, make people around him understand these aliens, understand them as if they were their brothers and sisters. Things to think about, and kind of wraps up my show. I just wanted to share those few things with you this time. I have a few more things in the works. I want to look at upcoming the something called the Completely Unofficial Star Wars Encyclopedia. I'll just note that it has moved from the location where I had linked to it in the past. It is now at CUSWE.org. It has its own domain and website. It's a great resource, and Bob Vitas is doing some interesting work there, and I will be talking to him in the next few weeks. So, I'll also remind you that it is April. It's a new month. If you are inclined to vote for any show, and this one is one that you want to vote for, please go to Podcast Alley and give us a vote and maybe raise the visibility of what I'm doing with Programming in Tongues. And as always, thanks for listening.